You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were so focused that you did not see anything else that was going on around you? For me, it was always on the athletic field of play. No matter how many fans were there, and no matter how loud they got, I could always seem to block them out while I was playing. However, when I came out of the game, I could notice what was going on in the stands. Well, in today's lesson, we consider a man who stayed focused on his Christian life so that he was not distracted by the world. Please join me for a few moments today as we discuss the topic of None of These Things Moved Me.
We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be.
In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, reading the King James translation, Paul says, "But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." It is his first phrase, "But none of these things move me," that I want to discuss today. How is it that Paul could stay so focused? What were the things trying to distract him? Maybe in answering these questions, it can help us stay focused as well. I want to begin today by looking at who Paul was. Our first introduction to Paul is in Acts chapter 7, where he is referred to as Saul. The scene is the stoning of Stephen, who we often call the first Christian martyr. We call him the first because it is really the first account that we have, though there could have been others before him. But first, verse 58 of Acts chapter 7 says, "When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul." I realize that at this point, Saul is only holding the coats of those who are actually doing the stoning. However, please also realize that this is a man who is in hearty approval of the taking of another man's life. In fact, that is exactly what Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 says. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. As we move into Acts chapter 9, we find Saul taking another step in his persecution. In chapter 9, he has gone from bystander or accomplice to full-fledged persecutor of Christians. Verse 1 tells us that he is breathing threats, but he has also asked for letters from the high priest stating that he has the authorization to arrest both men and women who are Christians. It is on this road to Damascus that Jesus approaches him and lets him know that he is traveling down the wrong road. He is shortly after converted to Christ and begins his ministry for the cause he was once trying to eliminate. I believe that it is important to understand who Saul was, because it will help us understand why none of these things were able to move the man we'll now refer to as Paul. So back to the matter at hand. What were the things that failed to move Paul? Well, if we go back to our context in Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 23, we find out. Here Paul states that he was warned many times by the Holy Spirit that in every city he went to, bonds and afflictions awaited him. How many of us would have continued down this path knowing that bonds and afflictions were waiting on us? how many of us would have continued once we went through a few of those bonds and afflictions? Paul says that all of those bonds and afflictions were not enough to distract him from his mission. So what were they? Well, there is a long list of things. He was stoned at Lystra. He was whipped and imprisoned at Philippi. He was mobbed in Jerusalem and put in prison in Rome. But Paul gives us a nice summary in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in more labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which commonly comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches." This is a long and varied list of the bonds and afflictions that Paul suffered. And yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17, he calls it a momentary light affliction. How is it possible to refer to all of these as momentary light affliction? How is it possible to stay focused and not allow these things to move you away from your goal? I believe the answer lies in Paul's attitude about his own life. Back in our context in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul states, "But I do not consider my life as any account as dear to myself." But this is not a form of self-hate or self-harm. He continues to say that the reason his life is not dear to himself, and it was so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. It was the mission that he was sent on that allowed him to remain laser focused and give him the ability to stand firm against the distractions of the world. Paul's course at this moment in his life was not yet finished, as he would later tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. How sad would it be to get so far and not finish? It puts the imagery in my mind of many marathon runners I have seen over the years who are tired, their bodies are cramping up on them, they're stumbling and falling, but they remain focused on the finish. First place was handed out long ago, but they cannot be deterred from finishing the race. Paul was battered, bruised, and beaten, but he was going to finish. Do we have that kind of focus in our own life? While we will likely never go through what Paul went through, we need to remain focused through our own trials and finish our own course. So until next time, I encourage you to set your mind like Paul and let nothing move you from your goal.